Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2. You know, the devil fights dirty. He always has. He always will until that final day where God sends him to his just desert. But you know, we're wanting revival, and so the devil does everything to kind of quench revival out of your soul. I want to be happy, and the devil does everything he can to make me unhappy. And so doing a little study on happiness, I was thinking a couple of weeks ago before the turn of the year that people were asking, what word do you want in 2018? And happiness came to my mind. I want to be happy. I think everybody wants to be happy. The first time that I got to speak on this was not last week. We had a little bit of snow last week, so I preached on snow. The week before, I talked about how to be unhappy and what unhappiness leads to. Tonight, taking the Word of God, I want to talk about happiness. And the first thing and the only thing that we'll talk about tonight on this point is we're happy if we trust God. We're happy if we trust God. And so the five things that I give you tonight will have that in mind. We're wanting to find out what happiness is. You said, what did you study? What books have you studied? Well, I went to the Bible and I typed in the word blessed and happy. And these are the verses that came up. And I put them in order to find out what the Bible says about how to be happy. And so here are the five things about trusting God. If you want to be a happy believer, we need to trust God. Psalm chapter 2, verse number 12, and we're going to look at several passages of Scripture. Psalm 2, verse 12, it says, "Kiss the Son." And by the way, that's capital S-O-N, not S-U-N. It'd be hard to kiss the S-U-N. That would burn. But, you know, isn't it interesting? And I don't know why people have a hard time understanding that there's a Son of God. When in Psalm, we have kiss the S-O-N, capital S-O-N. Here we have a Christophany or theophany. This is Christ in the Old Testament. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed or happy are all they that put their trust in him. The first way that you and I are going to trust God, which will produce happiness, is number one, we have to submit. We have to submit to God. You and I cannot be happy if we are not submitted to God. By the way, being submitted to God puts ultimate trust in God. If we can't submit to God, then we don't trust God. When the Bible says, kiss the Son, this is in the ancient days. Well, it's not even really ancient days because it's a practice that still goes on to this day. When I was in Beirut, Lebanon, did you know when they were shaking hands, you know what the men would do to me or try to? Yeah, kiss, kiss. No, no. All right? But that's what they still do. They still greet each other with a holy kiss. They really don't use the lips. It's just kind of just fake. But that's what they do. To this day, they still kiss. And that shows some kind of adoration and love for another person. It's like our handshake here in America. I'm thankful that we went to handshakes, by the way. But submission here is the oriental usage of a kiss to someone in authority was the sign of submission or allegiance. If you and I are going to be happy, we're going to have to trust God. And the first way that we're going to trust God is we're going to have to submit to Him. We're going to have to be submissive to the Son. This is embrace Him, depend upon Him, to make peace with the Father, and kiss the Son. So I encourage us all this evening, to be truly happy, we're going to have to trust God. And in order to trust God, we're going to have to submit to Him. The second thing that I see is found in Psalm chapter 34, verse number 8. Psalm chapter 34, verse number 8. I've said this often. The only time that I could find in Scripture where God says challenge him is when it comes to giving. But when I came across this Scripture, I said, hey, that sounds like a challenge too. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy or blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The first way that we're going to trust God, which will lead to happiness, is to submit. The second way is we're going to have to experience it. You and I have to experience God's goodness. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That applies to him by faith and prayer. Plead to him his promises. You know, when we find a promise in Scripture, you and I are to pray for that promise. You say, well, God's already going to give the promise. Why do we have to pray for it? That doesn't make sense. Because God says so. God says, ask and ye shall receive. I'm always reminded of Elijah when he was on the Mount Carmel. The very first part of that chapter, it says, and the Lord came to Elijah and said, go to Ahab and I will send rain. Elijah said, all right, I'm going to Ahab. He runs into the cupbearer in the wilderness and he says, hey, have you seen King Ahab? And he said, man, don't go to Ahab. He'll kill you for sure. He says, I'm going to go see Ahab because God promised he'll send rain if I go see Ahab. Elijah went and found Ahab. Guess what? It didn't start raining. Mount Carmel experience. Go get a bunch of water, pour it on my altar. Dear God, send fire. God, send fire, licked up the thing, and it still didn't rain. And then Elijah went to the mountaintop again, and he said, servant, come here. I want you to go look over the sea and tell me if you see a cloud. The guy came back and says, Elijah, I didn't see no cloud. Elijah got on his knees and started praying for the promise that God had already promised. Let me ask you this question. Was God going to send rain, yes or no? Does God lie? God said, if you go see Ahab, I'll send rain. The rain was coming. But we find Elijah praying. Goes back the second time. Servant comes back and says, there's no cloud. You know what Elijah starts doing? Praying for the promises of God. Five times. He prays. And finally the guy comes back and says, you know, Elijah, there's a little cloud about the size of a hand. He says, go tell Ahab to get off the mountain. It's fixing to pour. Hey, listen, that's a reminder to me that when God promises something, he's going to fulfill it, but he still expects you and me to ask for it. You say, well, why should we have to ask for it? God wants you to know that he listens to you. And God also wants you to know how serious you are. He already knows how serious you are. It's never about God testing you. Let's see what you're made of. I don't know what you're made of. I'm going to test you to see if you can handle it because God's already knowing what you're made of. But he wants you to know what you're made of. And sometimes we pray too flippantly, too shallow, and we're not sincere or fervent. We've given up, many of us have given up way too early on a loved one that we've been praying for a really long time. I've been praying for 20 years and there's still nothing happened. I don't think anything's going to happen. Well, maybe it'll take another 20 years for God to get their attention. Don't give up. Pray for the promises of God. Find the promises in Scripture. They're everywhere. And experience them. And then let God show off in your life by your prayer life. And that's something that I have to learn. That's something we have to learn. But number one, if we're going to be happy, we're going to have to trust God. We're going to have to trust God by submitting. That's ultimate trust. We're going to have to trust God by experiencing. And number three, we're going to have to trust God according to Psalms 40, verse 4. Read this. Happy is the man that maketh, or blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth. That means to turn towards. The word respecteth means to turn towards. Happy is the man, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. We need to believe God's word. You say, where do you see God's word there? If we're going to be happy, we have to be happy that trust the Lord. And then it says, do not turn towards the proud. The proud goes against God's word. Or turn aside to lies. Guess what lies go against? God's word. And so when we see that we are to turn away from the ideas and the lies of this world, we ultimately have to turn to something, and the only thing that you and I know that is truth is God's word. It is found full of truth. You want to be happy? You and I, if we want to be happy, then we're going to have to start believing God's word. And let me tell you why I believe there's a lot of people out in society, in the church, the Baptist church for that matter, why I believe there's a lot of Christians that don't go around very happy, is because we have let, over the years, people tell us that God's word cannot be trusted, and we don't know what it really does say. When you take away a foundation, the building will collapse. And so we have a lot of Christians out there that psychoanalyze the Bible. Well, the Bible says this, but I don't know if it really means that. Listen. If the Bible says it, you say, do you believe the Bible literally? I believe the Bible literally where it's literal. And I believe the Bible figuratively where it's figurative. You say, where is that? Study. You know, I believe that there's a guy named Adam, and I believe that there's a gal named Eve. To me, that's literal. And so, I believe that God created everything in six literal 24-hour period days. Now, there's Christians out there that don't believe that. They believe God. They believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. They believe that they're going to go to heaven. They believe salvation is through faith, through grace by faith, just like you and I believe. But they'll sit there and say, well, I believe that there's this gap theory. I believe the earth is millions of years old. Well, I don't. Because I believe the Bible talks about, and the evening and the morning were the, those are all signs of a singular 24-hour period. Day. And so I chose to believe the Word of God, and I believe that if we could get back to believing the Bible, and here's and another way, sometimes we let people take away our joy and our happiness because we've let people say, hey, the Bible's a good book to live by, but you can't believe everything about it. And then we let people, what happens is we read the Bible, we find promises in the Bible, and then we start saying, well, evidently, those promises don't rely to us because God hasn't done what I've asked Him to do. That goes back to taste and see that the Lord is good, and don't give up too early on the promises of God. I'm looking. Nathan Barker is searching for happiness. I want 2018. I want to be happy. And I'm going to be happy if I put my trust in God. And if I put my trust in God, that means I've got to submit to His authority. That means I've got to experience the promises from Scripture, and I've got to believe His word. Number four, Psalm 84, verse 12 says, O Lord of hosts, blessed or happy is the man that trusteth in Thee. When I go to these verses, I have a program on my Bible software that gives me a list of commentators. Commentary. Wasn't very many on this one. I clicked on the first one, and I loved what it said. It was so simple, and it was so short. It says, The only thing it put down there, he said, that trusteth / constantly. You and I need to be constantly trusting God. Constantly. The one thing that makes man blessed is trusting in God. We can trust God. We can be blessed constantly. We can trust God for all things. We can constantly trust the Lord for all things. He is a God that will supply all our needs. You have a need? He's the God to supply it. If He hasn't supplied it yet, then I guess we have to realize that it's not a need yet. But just because He hasn't supplied it yet doesn't mean He won't supply it one day. But if you and I will learn to trust Him for all things, we will be happy. We can trust Him in all things. We can trust Him at all times, constantly now. We can constantly trust the Lord. There's never a time that we shouldn't trust Him. There's never a time where we don't need to be able to trust Him. We can. There are times when we don't trust Him. There are times that you and I have put to practice the lack of trusting Him. You say, oh, I've never done that, Pastor Nathan. I wouldn't do that. Well, Nathan Barker's done it. I know that, so I'm glad you're better than me. But I have done it. Have you ever, out of frustration, just said, why in the world is this happening to me? I have. Now, let me ask you a question. When you are talking to nobody, and there's nobody around you, and you're in frustrated mode, and you say, why in the world is this happening to me? Who are you talking to? Well, you're talking to God. You're frustrated at God. God, You can control all things and You're letting this happen to me. Now, we don't go literally that way, but that's what we really mean. And God knows our heart. That's why we're frustrated. Now, sometimes I guess we can be frustrated ourselves. Now, I've done this. Why in the world did I do that? Now, I am frustrated at myself when I do that. And then sometimes I'm frustrated at West Virginia basketball. Why in the world aren't you playing defense? But there are times where I yell out, why is this happening? And my heart's really saying, God, I don't really trust You right now. I don't think You know what You're doing. And you know, when I'm frustrated like that, guess what I'm not? I'm not happy. Usually I don't go around happy like this. You're going to be happy. It's like having a belt over your shoulder. Kids, you're going to be happy. Ain't going to happen. We can be happy. We can constantly trust Him for all things. We can constantly trust Him at all times. I remember when my daughter Autumn was a lot littler. And I forget if she was on a play set. I'm not even sure if she, I don't know. I don't think she was on the roof of the house. That wouldn't have been safe. But I think she was on a play set or maybe a slide or something. And Autumn had total trust in Dad. Summer, she had probably analyzed it. Autumn standing there, I said, Autumn, jump, and Daddy will catch you. Without even blinking an eye, she jumped almost before I was ready. But I caught her. Now, ultimate trust, she had it. I said, Autumn, jump and I'll catch you. And like I said, before I was even prepared, she knew that Dad wouldn't let her fall. Now, here's the truth of the matter. Dad could have accidentally let her fall. Dad could have slipped. She could have slipped through Dad's hand, which would have destroyed all trust in Dad again. But let me tell you something. God will not let you fall. I can make a mistake and mess up, and I can flub the dub, and I can drop somebody. God can't. And just like a little child can ultimately trust her daddy. Now, I don't think Autumn would do that now. She's gotten a little smarter, maybe. But she can trust God. And you and I need to learn that we can trust God at all times, for all things, in all circumstances. We can constantly trust Him. When we need His mercy for pardon, He pardons. When we need His power for protection, He protects. When we need His wisdom for our guidance, He perceives. His wisdom and perception guides us. When we need His faithfulness to our for our preservation, He preserves because He is faithful. His all-sufficiency for our supply, because He does provide. Friend, I want you to know that you and I can trust God in all circumstances, at all times, for all things. So, I want to be happy. I'm going to have to trust God. Trust God by submitting. Trust God by experiencing. Trust God by believing God's word. When all else says something else and goes against God's word, those are liars and will not turn to it. Trust God by constantly trusting. And then finally, we can trust God by relying on God's wisdom and not our own. Proverbs 16:20 says, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good." That means if you're a businessman and you handle your business wisely, you're going to be productive. You study in school and you listen to the teacher and you handle your business in school wisely, you're going to someday graduate. That's good. But the rest of the verse says, "And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Blessed is he." Hey, friend. You and I, we want to be happy. I know a lot of people that have made a lot of good business decisions. Have you ever met a person that was a good businessman, but they didn't seem to always have a real good, happy countenance about them? Have you seen successful people that aren't happy? You handle your matter wisely, the Bible says, and you're going to find good. Look at all these actors. They study their skill of art. And they find good. Some of them even take home an award that they've searched for and wanted for all of their years of acting. They sacrificed everything for it. In a couple of weeks, this thing called the Super Bowl will take place, and there'll be a team that will take home this trophy that all year long they've dedicated their life for, and some of them have dedicated their whole life for. And they're going to take home a trophy. You handle your matter wisely, you'll find good. But that doesn't mean you'll be happy. Because how many actors and athletes, successful businessmen, have accomplished everything that they thought they wanted to have accomplished, and yet they feel so empty inside? And the only way that they can think they can find true happiness is at the end of a barrel or the bottom of a pillbox. They're not happy. They found good. They've handled their matter wisely. But they're not happy. But if you and I trust the Lord, happy is He. Now, I want you to be successful in all your endeavors. If it's a godly thing, I want you to be successful at your job. I want you to be successful in your family. I want you to be successful in your school. I want you to be successful in your retirement. I want you to be successful in the golf course. I want you to be successful. But you handle a matter wisely, you'll find good. But the only way that you're going to be happy is by trusting God. We have to rely upon God and His wisdom and not our own. Now, if you're here this evening and you're not saved, A lot of people try to handle this matter of salvation unwisely. It sounds good, but they handle it unwisely on their own. That's why there's so many religions out there. Religion, man's way of getting to God. But there's really only one book that tells you how to get to God, and that's the Bible. So I become a biblicist. I'm a Baptist. I'm a biblicist first. The Bible is God's direction for leaving this earth. At the funeral today, I told people, I said, listen, a lot of people will ask, is so-and-so in heaven? I said, I have no idea. There's only one person that I know that's going to heaven, and that's me. There's only really one person that you know of that's going to heaven too. That's you. I was talking to John. John was my chauffeur today. And we were talking about the Church of Christ, and we were talking about Baptist. And I'm baffled at some of the things I see, you know, like Duck Dynasty, the guy's Church of Christ. But man, there was certainly a difference, a change in Phil's life, if you don't know what that is. That's the guy that got saved back in the day. There was such a change in his life. And I started thinking, I wonder if he put his faith and trust in Jesus instead of baptism, and then somebody deceived him later and said he had to get baptized, but he actually put his faith and trust in Jesus. You know what? I think there's going to be a lot of people in heaven, and this is the statement I made to John. I said, I think there'll be a lot of people in heaven that are Church of Christ. And I think there'll be a lot of people in hell that are Baptist. Because it's not a matter of what affiliation you are, it's a matter of what the Bible says. Now, I don't believe the Church of Christ. I don't believe in baptism taking you to heaven at all. I believe in spiritual baptism, the Holy Spirit. But I do not believe in water baptism having anything to do with you getting saved. That's anti-Bible. That's work salvation. But if you came up to my house and said, hey, you need to trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior, and I pray and ask Christ to come into my heart and be my Savior, then after, you know, I go to church on Sunday, he said, oh, by the way, you got to get baptized too. Oh, I thought I got saved yet. Oh, no, that didn't count. Well, yeah, it did. Because I put my faith and trust in Jesus. I may be deceived into a cult, but I'm not wrong about putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so, you may be here today. I'm not talking about a Baptist. I'm not talking about Church of Christ, Catholic, Mormon, Methodist, whatever. I'm talking about, do you know if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Because if you don't, then who else does? 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That's a knowledge that you have eternal life. And I hope that you know that you have eternal life. And if you don't know that you have eternal life, then please get it settled today so you can know that you have eternal life. And stop putting it in the hand of your intellect. Well, you know, it says that you put your faith and trust in Jesus and that'll take you to heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. But you have to be good too. Well, you've just taken what the Bible says, twisted it, and made it say what you want it to say, and that's not what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says about your goodness. There's none righteous, no, not one. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So, you want to be ultimately happy? We talked about it last time. You have to be saved. Now, I know there's a lot of unsaved people that have happy moments. But a Christian doesn't have to have a happy moment. They can have a happy life. And definitely a happy eternity. And so if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to come forward. Let us take the Bible and show you from God's Word how you can be saved. If you are saved, then I encourage you to taste and see that the Lord is good. Submit to the Lord. Trust His Word. Turn from your own understanding and wisdom and turn to the wisdom of God. And you'll find happiness because the first thing that we have to do is be saved. The second thing we have to do is we have to trust God. And tonight I've given you how we can trust God.